How are you guys doing? Doing good. The story we're going to read this morning, I like it. It's just going to be one of those simple encounters with Jesus. Every time you see an encounter with Jesus, mark it up, highlight it. Always valuable lessons you can learn from those stories. This lesson right here, it appears in each of the Gospels except John. Really cool stuff right here. It's one of the few times where Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." He says it actually just four times. This one is right in that. And really a unique story about faith and four young men and one of their friends. This story is going to be found in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And as you're turning there, I do want to say it's good to be here. I know you guys, it's flu season. I want to say relatively we've been healthy for the most part. Praise God for this. A lot of young kids here, a lot of young families making the effort to be here. It's cold, sometimes rainy, roads can be crazy, but you guys are here with spiritual things on your mind to serve and worship our God together, and I just want to say I appreciate that. As a fellow Christian, it's really encouraging as a young preacher in the Word of God. So we're in Mark chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read this story together. It says, "And again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed, and walk"? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. All that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" I was a sophomore in high school, and I drove a 1985 Jeep CJ7. Aesthetically, it was very nice, but there were some issues with the motor, and it leaked some oil from time to time. But it's one of those vehicles where you had to wake up about 30 to 40 minutes early in the morning to start your vehicle, let it run a little bit so it's warmed up as you hit the road. So I woke up about 6 o'clock because this morning I had a wrestling match at the local high school. It started at 7. So I woke up, went to my Jeep, started it, cranked it, wasn't turning over. You're pushing the gas, you're doing whatever you can. You don't want to flood it or kill the battery. So you're kind of waiting. Finally, it kicks over. I go inside, grab some breakfast, go back to my Jeep. As I'm traveling, I come to the stop sign. I'm always kind of afraid to take it out of gear because they kind of start sputtering just a little bit. So I get to the stop sign, and the Jeep dies. Now I'm panicking. There's no cell. I didn't have a cell phone back then. It's pretty 6:30 in the morning. No, there's really no cars in sight. So I'm trying to crank it. I'm like, I'm either going to flood it or this time I will kill the battery. Before I get to that point, someone kind of pulls up. They get out of the truck and they begin to start posting some signs. They're posting some signs about their business and a lost dog. And they look over and they see me. They kind of slowly walk over and they see this sophomore kid in high school trying to get his Jeep ready. He goes, "What's wrong?" "My Jeep won't start. I don't want to be late for my first wrestling meet." So he said, "Help me hang these signs, and I will take you to get there on time." So I was helping him hang his signs, kind of watching the clock. We did it in plenty of time, and he drove me to the high school for my first takedown tournament. And the small talk in this car, just kind of say how old you are, what you're doing. And I said, I really appreciate you for taking the time and driving me to my high school. He said, no problem. Thanks for helping me hang the signs. But in the future, I just want you to remember what took place this morning and how I helped you. That was really the lesson. With these four men right here, they were determined to get their friend to see Jesus. That was pretty much it. They were on a mission to say, this man is a miracle worker. We're going to get from point A to point B no matter what it takes. And think about it. I mean, they were already running late. They could have said, okay, we're just going to miss service. We're already 15 minutes behind. We're going to miss Jesus. We're going to miss the climax of the lesson. Everybody's already there. They have their spot. I mean, what's the point? Maybe we're going to miss something. Hey, you know what? We'll catch him next week. There are some kind of impeding courses that they had to overcome. Also, when they finally got there, they saw the crowd. I mean, they say those kind of historical ancient homes maybe fit 50 people. Well, when they got there, it was standing room only. These guys could have easily have turned around after seeing a lack of space. And you know what? To be honest, I don't think anyone there would have blamed them if they would have left that day. It's too busy, too crowded. Others needed help. They were late. We don't have the time. They were thinking, no, that's not the case. Here is the now, and they want to see Jesus. But again, think what barriers they were facing. Besides, they're already running late. It was already crowded. Their determination still moved them forward. First, again, look, there's no car. Maybe these four young guys had a chariot. I'm not sure there was even a wheelchair back then. These four men must have carried their paralyzed friend all the way from point A, wherever it was, all the way to point B, wherever point A started. That's going to be tiring. That's going to set some fatigue. They're going to be a little exhausted, would you say? But the determination moved them forward. So houses back then, maybe usually constructed with a flat roof, a set of stairs kind of going up on the side right there. It was kind of like a deck, you would say, of that day. But these were kind of made up of timbers, covered by layers of branches, covered by a layer of clay tiles, and finally maybe a thick layer of mud placed on the very top of these roofs. This was pressed and rolled till it became waterproof or rainproof. You know what? The four men got to that home. I'm not sure they were planning on digging. So who knows what type of tools they had, if any. But they were going to get their paralyzed friend, already carrying him, on top of the roof, and then begin to start digging through this roof 6 to 12 inches deep. Now get this. To create a hole large enough to see Jesus, but also large enough where a body can fit through. Again, what tools did they have? I mean, after all this digging, after all this carrying, after all this walking, then essentially lowering a dead weight body through the ceiling while still positioning themselves so they don't fall through the roof with them, they were determined to see Jesus. Determination was moving them forward. So here it is. Can you just imagine kind of this humorous scene taking place right here? As Jesus is teaching and preaching, the sound of digging is kind of heard. Wouldn't that be kind of strange? Here I am preaching, doing my three-point lesson, and all of a sudden we just kind of hear something right there. All of a sudden one of those tiles falls, the speakers kind of cave in, and I'm just again just teaching and preaching. That's what's taking place. There's people in the house, dirt is falling through, and all of a sudden they can see the blue sky in this home. You ever wonder what the homeowners are thinking? Hey, sweetie, we have home insurance, right? was the crowd thinking? Surely something like this never happened before. But I know exactly what Jesus thought. In verse 5 it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus admired these men. Because these four young guys and the one who was paralyzed, crippled, they were determined to see Jesus. That's really the first point, right? When we have to overcome some obstacles, barriers, thoughts, presuppositions, whatever we got to do, how determined are we to see Jesus? In this case right here, determination, it paid off. They were determined to do what was difficult. They were determined to do what was necessary. They were determined to make the sacrifice. I want to say this. We need friends like that. We need strong friends of faith. But we also need to be those strong friends of faith. So I want to ask you a question. How determined are you to get your friends to see Jesus? These four men right here were very determined. We're going to continue to see. We're talking about a divine Messiah right here. When this paralyzed man is lowered into this service, Jesus witnesses the extent and depth of these men's faith and really the man's ability. Then Jesus does something amazing. He says, son, your sins are forgiven you. How nice would that have felt? Here they are, it's kind of like this child, intimate expression, son. I appreciate what you've done here today. All you men, getting your friend here to see the teaching and preaching of Jesus, you know what? Your faith. That's what it's all about, is that faith. Your faith has made you well. Son, your sins are forgiven. Again, kind of reading this from our vantage points, we're like, yes, Jesus does it again. The great physician, the great healer. He is the one who's come to take away sin from the world. Yes, Jesus. The question, what were the five friends thinking Jesus would do? It's the healing, right? It's their friend who's been paralyzed for who knows how long or what happened. But so far, Jesus hasn't lost a case yet when it came to healing, taking care of, and getting rid of disease. He has not lost a case yet. What are these friends thinking? Surely, this man, this is the guy right here. The four bring him to him. The crowd probably thinks, we're probably thinking, his greatest problem is this man cannot walk. But the first thing that Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven. That's remarkable. Because it's Jesus who understands there is a much more serious crisis than the fact that the man can't walk. Jesus doesn't want to be a miracle worker or another physician doctor. He's looking to be your great physician. Not with paralysis, but with sin. That's what he wants to do. And that's kind of where we come in. The suffering, the disease, the physical ailments. Again, I don't want to minimize what people go through. Again, this time of season when people get sick. But I do want to say it's a far second from the primary problem. That's sin. And that's Jesus. Our Savior is far more concerned with the spiritual than he is with the physical. He's looking past the temporary and looking to the eternal. So when they came, these four men came, and the paralyzed man came, Jesus knew exactly what the real need was, his greatest need. He's probably thinking, what good is it if I heal these man's legs? He can get up and walk. But he walks straight to hell. Jesus, he wants to go deeper with us. By asking just for our bodies to be healed, we're not going deep enough. Jesus could, God could take care of all our physical needs. He could help us find the right job to get debts free. Bless us with perfect families and homes and kids who just respond and love Jesus, or spouses who are just adamant about serving the Lord. He could rid us of our handicaps and our diseases and all our ailments. But he knows, Jesus knows, that none of that will be a substitute for what we actually need. It's a Savior. We need a Savior. So he's showing, no matter what physical state you're in, we need our sins forgiven first and foremost. Even though this man was paralyzed, Jesus did take care of the major ailments first. Sin. Third point, these first two really just practical stuff. This third point just really dives into the divine nature of God and Jesus. I was kind of going between two points. I had determined friends, divine Messiah. I was thinking, what about divisive foes? I think better yet, keeping the alliteration, displayed authority by Jesus. I want to pick up in verse 6 and read verse 6 and 7 with you guys one more time. It says, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Already, Christ just gave this man, the paralyzed man, the greatest gift you can give to anyone in the world. Your sins are forgiven, right? Forgiveness, that is the chief we're all looking to get. You think maybe this man and his friends would be shocked about all this. Well, again, they weren't the only ones who were surprised by all this. Who does this teacher, this rabbi, think he is when he says that he can forgive sins? So already in the story, what you're struck with is criticism, right? Sitting in there in the house that day were some of the scribes. These men, they had some doubts. They went to check up on this Jesus of Nazareth. And again, we all know this, scribes are writers, right? As the name really implies, these men were given the duty to write down all the scriptures, copying it word for word exactly how they saw it. And as they copied all this sacred text, they became very familiar with the scriptures. So familiar, they kind of eventually became the scholars of authority in the text. The scribes and their interpretation of the law have become more important than the law itself. So when these religious men heard Jesus forgave the crippled man's sins, they could not believe what they just heard. They understood, look, the prophets, Isaiah, 2 Samuel, those read God forgives sins. So they understood when Jesus made this claim, it was a claim to be God. So when they heard this, they're like, blasphemy. This guy's making himself equal with God. You have this kind of criticism, and it slowly segues to the confrontation. Read verse 8 and 9 with me. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? Yeah, Jesus, we know him being God, knew what they were thinking in their hearts. One, think about that for a second, side points. Jesus knows our hearts. God knows the thoughts of men. And perceiving that, immediately he offers a challenge with the words saying, consider this. What do you think is easier to do? Say, your sins are forgiven you, or what about this? Get up, you're paralyzed, crippled. Get up, take up that mat, and walk away. I think literally, either of those statements would have been easy to make. But only one can be proven. On the surface, yes, anyone can say, hey, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. Folks do that today. It's invisible. It's kind of really impossible to disprove. But the real test to the crippled man was to rise and walk. That's just really the idea. He had determined friends, the divine Messiah, but he's displaying his authority. To say your sins are forgiven and to rise and walk, God has the ability to do both. So Jesus is setting the scene to prove that he is the Messiah. So then you have the confirmation. Picking up in verse 10. For that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. That's it. Jesus saying, watch. I'm going to prove to you that I am God. I'm going to prove to you today that my words have authority, that people obey my will. I'm going to show you through the physical so that you can be sold by the spiritual. It's exactly what he said, arise, take up thy bed and go into your house. He was proving who he was by what he claimed. Which is easier to say? Let it be known, it takes God to do both. Folks, that's it. That's the lesson this morning. Short, sweet, but it's rich. That morning in the Jeep, it was a perfect stranger. Older guy. I guess back then I was a little more trusting of individuals. But I was determined to get to the wrestling meet. And he was determined to help me get there. This morning, you guys were determined to serve our Lord, to sing praises, and to worship our God. I want to say, how determined are you to get to the next step? Wherever your faith is, these men had immaculate faith. But the whole climax of the story is when he said, you know what? Your sins are forgiven you. He wanted that man to go home saved that day. Again, he wasn't simply just addressing the physical need or a temporary need. He was looking to fix an eternal need. That's God's will this morning. He wants you to leave with faith. He wants you to leave in salvation. He wants you to leave by the blood of Jesus. So this morning, let your faith make you well. This morning, if we can help you, study the text. This morning, if you want to pray together, this morning there's some spiritual concern, a question. This morning, you're ready to wash. It's cold outside. But if you're ready to wash away your sins, make the difference, make the change, be determined this morning. Let us know how we can help. So we stand and sing.